through the next 3 hours or so or longer, because they usually end up much longer after the fact, talking about pursuing a voiceover career, something that I have done for 27 years, and I still have to kind of look in the mirror, and it does reveal that I've seriously been at this for 27 years. When I was a younger man, back when I was 16, there was no internet. I don't know if you remember that old school, but you'd go into the library and you would check out a book with your library card. I don't know the last time you've been to a public library, but it's unique. Now, what people do is they go to the internet, don't they? And they find what information they need to find. They Google it or Yahoo it. Who's a Googler? Who's a Yahooer? Okay. Google's winning. And we know. You know what the power consumption is over there at Google? You can, what, 4 or 5 cities worth of power that they use just to cool their data centers, which is ridiculous. You read about that this past week, which is just unbelievable. Well, anyway, taking you back to 1986, this is really a pivotal year for me because I was in New York City. And if you're going to be anywhere in media, New York City was the place to go because it is the number one media market in the U.S. There's Los Angeles, there's Dallas, there's Chicago, but New York is number one. And I was fortunate enough to grow up New Jersey and New York, but there was a radio station, it's still there, owned by different people these days. It seems like radio stations switch over all the time. But it was called WMCA, 570 WMCA. It was located on 57th and 7th Avenue, Midtown Manhattan. If you know anything about Manhattan, it's right down on Columbus Circle. See, you know who Columbus is. So the Hard Rock was there at one time on 57th and 7th Avenue, but great memories. And at 16, I was a kid. I mean, I thought I was all grown up, you know, at that. But I had an opportunity to get into radio, and how I did it was sweeping floors and making coffee. And it wasn't always fun, but I was around some pretty big hitters in radio, celebrities. Ed Koch, I don't know if you remember that name, he died. Yeah, he did the judge thing here, yeah. He was a very cool guy. I produced his talk show, okay? So that was kind of unique. And then Mario Cuomo, I don't know if you that name sounds familiar, but produced his talk show. Larry King got his start at WMCA, Joyce Brothers, Wolfman Jack, Alan Combs, Fox News Channel. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But WMCA, I mean, I have pictures of Larry King when he actually looked a little younger. He always kind of looked old to me. But he's still doing a talk show called Larry King Now on Hulu, Aura TV, which I like, Aura TV. It's very cool, new age kind of a thing, but it's nice. And I know these folks, and they knew my dad, and I got in the radio station because my dad was the director of engineering and the general manager of the radio station, but there was no easy way to get in but sweep the floors and make coffee, and make good coffee at that, because you had to keep these guys awake. And something occurred to me. When these celebrities would come in, not just politicians, but singers and movie stars and things like that, I'd say to myself, my dad's busted his hump, okay, on the floor, sweating his ass off, cutting wires, burning himself, getting bit by spiders out of transmitter buildings in Kearney, New Jersey in the middle of the night, and I'm handing him coffee again and tools. I don't even know what they are, but trying to find what he needs, keeping him awake. How do they get behind that microphone? That looks pretty damn special. They're having a good time, they're having fun, and they're just talking. That's all they're doing. And they're relaxed. They're not even nervous. Some of you guys would be terrified to step up, you know, knowing that, you know, you're in the number one market, number one radio station, doing a show, and what you name your celebrity. Now, Barack Obama, maybe show. How you doing? Obama. Okay, yeah, I do Obama occasionally. He knows I do. I'll do that at the end, but it is kind of entertaining. So what happened? You ever get those Kodak moments where it's ch-ch-ch, and you just know that something that you saw is going to define you? You ever get that moment and you just look back and you say, it was there? That was a defining moment for me. Whatever it was going to take for me to get there, I was going to do. And I was going to find out. I was going to ask questions. I was, whatever it took. And so these old guys, which they were called the good guys, WMCA was Good Guy Radio. That was their thing. That was their slogan. I know it sounds tacky now, but it was cool then. Good Guy Radio. They were good guys. They were old guys to me, and I was just a punk kid. So they put up with me, and they tolerated me. What I first learned was there was a big difference between guys who were just hosting shows, producing shows, wanting to produce shows, and then producers that just simply were actually on the phone screening calls that weren't actually on the board or running controls. They were called producers. Kind of learning all the aspects of radio. And then when the commercials would come on nationally, I learned something that was a little depressing. The guys in the building weren't doing the national commercials. And I thought they were. You'd figure radio guys, they were doing the national commercials. They weren't. They were doing local commercials. Agencies in New York City did not want radio people to be represented by because they had a radio sound. They read a certain radio-ish vibe to it. There's broadcast announcers, and then there's voice actors. So there's a big difference between the two. And a good way to break that down for you is if you listen to national radio, you'll hear national commercials. But if you listen to local radio, there'll be a national commercial that'll come up, and you'll recognize what's different. It's written better, it's produced better, and it's voiced better. It's perfect. Because what happens is, from the agency level, somebody writes the commercial for the widget company, and they come up to them and they say, I got this great product, but we have not a clue how to push it for the consumers. What do you guys do? And they says, well, for several millions of dollars, we're going to write a campaign. So they do. And it's brilliant. These guys have degrees in marketing, and so they know. And then they also know where to find the talent. They go to the talent agency. That's where voice actors go to be represented. So some of you already get this, know this, understand this, but some of you didn't quite know the variables there. So now you know this. Now it's done. And so if you're going to go at anything, you intelligently really want to understand how all the parts work, all the moving parts. I was a very curious kid when I grew up. Radios, I used to take them apart. Televisions, took them apart. Microwaves, took them apart. I just wanted to know what was inside of them, how they worked. Getting them back together wasn't always pretty. All right, admittedly. They didn't always go back together. We always had spare parts. Always. The defining moments. Wow. I just cannot believe that much time went by. So what happened? Take another sip of coffee. Oh, there it is. When you get this old up here, I mean, in your 40s, things get scrambled. How old are you? 33. How old are you? 45. 45. Good for you. How old are you?
52.
He doesn't look 52, does he? No. Say that again.
52.
That voice. So an early start would have been great, right, for some of you? But did you know that our voice gets better with age? So it really doesn't matter? Okay, unless you get sick, your voice gets better in many respects. And, you know, you have more seasoning on you, which is great. So there's voiceovers at 80, voiceovers at 90. Okay, so it's never too late. I was blessed to be able to get started early and do what I needed to do. But what I needed to understand first and foremost is what I had to do. And that was to study experts that actually did this for a living and understand that I had to spend the time like a musician and understand the variations of inflection and timing and tonality and posturing. Understanding to capture the imagination and not just trying to, but actually emulate it perfectly. So if I'm going to do character acting and a particular character, and you're watching The Family Guy, and I'm going to break down all the Family Guys perfectly, okay, that would be pretty magnificent, right? If you like The Family Guy. The problem is a guy came to me, and he has all the Family Guy voices, and so I call my friend in Hollywood, Bob Bergen, and I said, I have a guy in Tampa that can break down all the voices perfectly, and the guy is great. He goes, well, that's terrific. Let me listen. It sounds like The Family Guy. So what do you think? And he goes, well, what do you mean? What do I think? We already have The Family Guy. See, there was a time where that would be funny, it would be a novelty, you could stand in, you can do things, but there's so many talented people out there. What Hollywood is looking now for those characters is somebody that's able to create new characters. Not just with silly things you're saying, but creating a real dialogue. So if that's your thing, animation is hotter, bigger than ever, but get ready to move. Burbank, California. Los Angeles. If you're going to pursue that career, you have to move. Bob says it. And any character actor tells me you better go to Hollywood, because that's where it's happening. Now, for any other places in voiceover, you can be anywhere. You can be in your basement. You can be in your laundry room. You can be in the closet. Does not matter, literally, in the closet. There's people that walk from the bed in their underwear and do a voiceover, and they email it out to the company, and they go back to bed. That's how business is done today. Because of the invention of the internet in 1995, when global warming was proposed and then enacted, Al Gore created both of them. You remember that? I was sending MP3s out back in 1995. Wow. How old were you in 1995?
95?
Yeah. Were you born?
Yeah.
That's 17. I was 25. Okay. So I remember it vividly. And I was doing a national talk show. I've done a lot of different things. But anyway, you got to really love something to be good at it. Have you loved something that much in your life where you said, you know, whatever it takes, whatever I need to do, whatever it is, I'll go to the highest mountain, I'm going to do it. No obstacles. And that's pretty much how I live. I didn't, you know, I just no barrier. You're like, money's an issue, right? Some people, they make it an issue all their lives. Some people made it an issue today because of the seminar, because I charged $99 to get in the door, which I actually refund the money if they go through any of the programs. But I didn't tell them that. But I want people that actually want what I want. And to find success like I have found success. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's getting bigger. I'll tell you why it is and where it's going. And what you need to do to align yourself. You're going to find out all those things, all those pieces you'll be able to put together and find out how you can actually make money and do it right and intelligently. Put a plan together. So you put a plan together, you're going to have success. Anybody ever get into shape, go to a gym and actually slim down, get the six-pack abs or get the arms you wanted and all that? What happened? You hunkered down, right? You just listened to that trainer. You ate well. You did what you needed to do. What's hard work? Nothing comes easy. There's hard work. There's dedication to it. But if you're committed to it, you're dedicated, you can make it. All right, so let me take you back to when I was 22. There was an audition for World News Tonight. I don't know if any of you remember Peter Jennings.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. He had dual citizenship for years, and what a great guy. Well, I told my dad, I said, Dad, there's an audition for World News Tonight. You can imagine, okay, at 22, and like, that's great, and what are you doing? Well, you know, I've been studying these network announcers. I've been listening to them and emulating them. Years. I mean, there's got to be something there. He goes, well, good for you. You know, I mean, it really wasn't, you know, 100% behind me, but maybe he was doing that for a reason. I don't know. But he said, if you think you got it, you go for it. pat, pat, you know, it just didn't seem like it was really, you know. So anyway, I put my name in for it, and there was over 100 guys that auditioned for it. And so, and they were old guys. They had no hair, and I still have some. It was intimidating to a certain degree, but I knew what I was doing. And that was the cool thing. I could do this. So the audition basically said, it's World News Tonight, you're bringing on Peter Jennings. There was a script, real simple, and it needs to sound like the news is coming on, so it needs to be important. So any announcer, a network announcer, has to sound important, and it has a network quality to it. And your voice has to be crisp, concise, you know, and it needs to be, you know, the tone has to be even keel, you know, it can't sound, you know, edgy. I have an edginess to my voice because my sinuses now, but it has to be clear. And it has to have that X factor kind of thing for the network quality. I had it. So here it is. I'm probably number 60 or something like that. Now, with some auditions, she knows this. Some people know in the room here how auditions go. They tell you you're going to show up at 11 o'clock. And you do show up at 11 o'clock, and you're in that room with, it could be a lot of people. 11 o'clock can turn into 4 o'clock real easily, okay? And then 6 o'clock, and then even sometimes 8 o'clock. Some things you want to think about with auditioning. If you have a day job and it's important to you, you may want to consider some of those factors when auditioning, because some employers may not be so kind. Now, this was a network gig which had the potential of earning me hundreds of thousands of dollars through the years, which it did generate me. But I had to be very patient. Some jobs are not as important, you know. However, when you're trying to feed yourself, pay your rent, car payment, you know, $800, $500, $1,800, whatever it is all significant, right? So the dollar amount wasn't so much what drove me initially. I just wanted to be in. I wanted to be heard because, again, I practiced with Don Keyes and several other notable voice talent of exceptional caliber, and were A-list actors, and they were in the mix already in the fray. And that's why I respected them. They knew about local radio, they did local commercials, but more on the national scene, and so they could teach me more from that perspective to win agencies over, because they know. See, in the 80s, it was all about name dropping. And to a certain degree, that's kind of true with referrals. However, talent speaks for itself. Let me just say that again. Talent speaks for itself. Some of you may have considered putting a demo together way before you even got any training to shoot them out and just kind of put something together to kind of get some feedback. Do you think that's putting the cart before the horse, Kevin? You don't want to do that. You're going on the national level, you want to be ready for the national level. Now, there's several different things you want to think about. There's the local level, which I know plenty of people on the local level that make a lot of money doing voiceovers on the local level. And that's cool. You know, some people are so saturated in the local market. You hear them on everything. You might think voices, gosh, that guy or that girl's on everything. Holy crap, she's cleaning up. And it's annoying to a certain degree, right? But she's making money, so don't be a hater. Right? So you could set yourself up where it's like big fish, small pond. You go in, you're a voiceover talent. Let me give you a few ideas. I'm going to circle back to when I got the gig for ABC. So here it is. You have your studio. You have a little training behind you. Hopefully a lot of training, but enough to be dangerous if you're in the local market. You ever hear a commercial in the local market that's terrible? And you say, oh my God, I can do better, right? Why don't you do better? Well, how do I do that? Well, you said you could do better, didn't you, in your head. Why don't you write a commercial? Why don't you voice the commercial in your studio? Put some production music on. You can actually buy production music. It's real production music. Musicbakery.com, firstcom.com, network.com. There's just so many different sounddogs.com. I mean, I could go on and on. I hope you're writing this down. But you can buy it and be licensed for it. And you got to make sure that you're licensed. The music's very, very important. Because something's very cleverly done with the music companies. They have coded their music. And whenever it goes to a transmitter, it actually goes back to a signaler, and it tells the agency where they actually gauge how many times the music's played and where it came from and what station. So they know. Even with the commercials, like how do they know, besides the affidavit of radio stations, that the commercial actually aired? Because they actually, you know, they put an electronic watermark on the commercial. They know when it aired or not. Very clever. So you're in the local market trying to make some money locally, okay? You can do this anywhere. So you go into the business, and I have guys and girls doing this all over the country. Now, this is if you have time on your hands. If you don't have time on your hands, this is probably not a good idea. But if you have a few hours a week to do this, you can go into the business and say, listen, I listened to your commercial on the radio. They're going to be ecstatic. Oh, my God, somebody finally heard our commercial. It's not what you think. What do you mean it's not what? Well, I'm a voiceover talent, and I can do better. And I put together a little something. You're really nice about it. I want you to hear the commercial. I think I know your business a little bit better, and I can push the envelope a little bit further, and I can create more traffic for your business. How are they going to argue with you? At least they can do is listen to it. They're not obligated to buy it just yet. So if they hear the commercial and their appetite is what? What are they going to do? They're buying from you. You become, in essence, an agency, just like that. Because then what you can do is call their sales representative of the radio station and say, listen, we're going to replace this commercial. I'm going to email it to you, and we're going to put it on the air. Client's request. And so you've already made money from that. Then you can actually start buying radio time for these businesses. And you can bypass them going to the radio station and pad your wallet even more. So you become an agency overnight. You can do that. Now check with your county on what taxes you need to pay for an agency and what the restrictions are, because they differ from county to county, the meaning of what an agency is. But there's Florida's lenient when it comes to that, so be generous. If you have a brain and you engage it in voiceover, there's a lot of money to be made. Because if you know there's a bunch of crap on the air, if you're creative and you can come up with something better than that, they're going to be amazed. Now, this is kind of a cool thing, okay? Some companies are like, well, Keith, you know, that's a great idea, but I just spent a bunch of money with a radio station. I'll tell you what, can I give you X amount of dollars of barter? What if I double that and I give you like $1,500 worth of steak and lobster dinners? An open bar. Well, let me think about that. Honey? You know what I'm saying? Or it's half cash, half trade. So you can do either or. So you can work it that way. Dry cleaning, never pay for dry cleaning ever again. Car wash and detail, never pay for it again. I don't. Mr. Car Wash Nationwide. They're a Canadian company, by the way. And I do all their national commercials, and they give me free car wash and detail. You know, I have a huge stack of these things, and they're like $30 a pop. So I give them away like ice cream. They're $30, though. You know, a pop, and they do a phenomenal job on the car. But I'm saying you can be that creative. Think about the vanity radio around. You know the weekend radio where people buy, you know, the airtime real cheap to come and do stupid shows, and they're really corny. Weekend radio is really, you know, hodgepodge of different things on there, but you have to laugh at some of the stuff. But they sell advertising so they can do their talk show and be on the air. It's more really for them to hear themselves, I think, more than anything. But they sell advertising. It's cool. But you can actually do commercials for them and spruce up their air chain so they can sound better, and they need help as well. So that's on a local level. If you actually decide to go that direction, you can make some fair money, some excellent money. Harder you work, the more money you make. It's kind of a simple equation, but some people don't grasp it. Now, some of you have careers, and understandably, you're in a career, and you're not going to quit your day job anytime soon. some of you want to do that, and if you can prove to yourself that you can actually make more money and be independent at home, and people want independence more than ever, they realize, okay, you know what, I want to spend more time doing what I like to do. What if I just take the day off and go fishing? Who's going to care? What if I just want to take my kid out of school for the day and go on vacation? I don't do that too often, but I could if I wanted to because I own my own business, right? This is a laptop computer. It's a MacBook Pro. Apple doesn't pay me anything to say that. It just sounds good. I bring that on vacation with a USB microphone. I plug into it, and I do voiceovers into it. So wherever I am, I'm not going to miss an opportunity. As long as I have a shot by a satellite on a boat, Wi-Fi or something like that at the hotel or on the beach. Most beaches now have Wi-Fi signals, so I can do coaching sessions on the beach with a headset, and I do it. It's kind of funny for this, you know, because so they can hear the birds. I have noise cancellation. It's brilliant. Then I go to the hotel room if I actually have to have quiet, or in my car through my iPhone. I'll plug in a professional microphone in my iPhone. And actually do a commercial. You can do it with your Droid, too. You're a Droid user. I don't want to anger the Droid users. I love saying that. Okay. So here it is in the line, edging towards the producer and the microphone. So for some of you, coming up to the microphone is a little terrifying. Some of you would walk this guy right back here, would step up to the mic gladly. Mr. Fortune, is that correct?
That's correct.
He is not shy. Yeah. Some of you, not so much, right? Admittedly, raise your hand for people who are not so in the front of the room kind of people. Admittedly. Okay, somewhat. But you would rather the idea of, listen, I'll be in my privacy of my home, I'll step up to the mic that way, that's cool. There's five or six people looking on, and I'm doing a voiceover, probably I'm going to feel a little intimidated. Correct? I was nervous for the audition, don't get me wrong. But the nice thing is, if you really know what you're doing, the confidence comes. You might have a little twitch in the leg, a little anxiety, sweating a little bit, or, geez, you know, clammish, your heart's beating a little bit. I was just excited more than anything. I had the opportunity to audition, just being there. That was cool. And the energy in the room was, you know how auditions are, it's just energy. The anticipation, it's almost like you're there to win the lottery. Okay? Because, you know, as an actor, because that's what we are, we realize that we audition for more than we ever get. Now, that's a reality that some people can't stomach. They don't like rejection because it brings up the, you know, when Teddy walked down on me, you know, or Julie slammed the door on me and never saw her again. Okay, hang-ups for whatever reason, but believe it or not, those personal things can trickle to your professional life. They do, believe it or not. You know what? Words do hurt. Some people are injured for life. So let me suggest trying to take positive antidotes and apply them. Sometimes they will make you sick, and you've heard a million of them, and they don't do anything for you. But if you actually stomach a few, you'll feel better. Because believe me, you know, when somebody dies and says, well, God needed a little angel, it'll make you feel really good at the time. It's really not an antidote that somebody wants. That's actually something you don't tell somebody that just lost somebody. People think they mean well, and they say things like that, but don't. So wherever you are right now, the past doesn't equal the future. You can switch up all the dynamics. Anthony Robbins said something that really changed my life in the book, Awaken the Giant. And he said, circumstances are the creatures of men. So all the things that happen, really mankind is responsible for ultimately. Think about all the stuff that happens every day. Think how much control ultimately you have over your life. Much as you don't think you're in control, you actually have more control of your life than you ever thought, especially living here in this country. That's amazing. So here it is, I'm in the line. Nervous, but optimistic. I don't even know if I can pull this off.
This is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings, reporting tonight from New York. Peter Jennings. And that was just that simple. Okay, thank you. And you're out. You didn't know anything either way. They were pretty emotionless. Anyway. So I didn't know. I thought I did good. How'd you do? Don't know. I didn't get a call that night. Next day, phone didn't ring. I'm like, oh, probably. Didn't know anything. I'm like, ah. And then the phone rings. Guess who's on the other line? Take a guess. Damn right. I thought it was BS. I thought somebody was scamming me. And I'm like, this is not Peter Jennings. Are you telling me this is not Peter Jennings? This is not Peter Jennings. And he's kind of messing with me. He goes, this is Peter Jennings. If you look at your caller ID, you will notice the capital cities, you know, he's gave me the numbers, and I'm like, sorry, Mr. Jennings. Would you like to be the voice of World News Tonight? Yes, I would. Great. And that was it. Now, the interaction between, you know, Mr. Jennings and me, it's not like I go into a voice booth and there he is. That wasn't really how it went down. I got to see him on set. My dad ended up working for Capital Cities. No, I don't think he made the phone call. I really don't. A lot of people say, oh, your dad must have done something. Yeah, not so much. It didn't happen that way. But William Morris, at the time, another Endeavor, they are actually responsible for the casting, and I landed with them back then for the gig. And it was pretty impressive, and Peter Jennings ended up dying with lung cancer, which was very unfortunate. And they made a couple changes, three changes to World News Tonight. But I was the longest lasting, as they would call, booth announcers in the network's history for one newscast. So that was pretty impressive. Disney recently asked me if I wanted to go back to work for them. However, they pretty alluded they wanted me to work in California, and I told them no. That's most of their stuff is done in Burbank, and I just don't want to move out there. Tried it. It's not me. You're either a West Coast person or you're not. Anybody like California? It's nice. Yeah, but it's all relative, right?
Yeah.
How much money do you need to make?
A lot.
A lot of money, right? Now, as you can imagine, at 22, becoming the voice of World News Tonight, I had some clout, and I used it, and I was pretty damn cocky, okay? I thought I was something. But I learned very, very quickly that professionals on my level, not so much. They all did their gigs, they did their work, and they weren't so impressed. They were like, that's cool. And I thought they would be more impressed, but they really weren't. You know why? Because they wanted the gig. You understand? There's a competitiveness to the whole thing, okay? You would think, okay, we're nice people in the voice industry, really are. We just charged $99 for seminars. But when a voiceover agent calls me, okay, and I say, you know, my voice is not fully up to par, and usually it's twice a year, fall, and the sinuses come in, I'll recommend somebody that's on my caliber, somebody on my range, as closest that I know on speed dial, just in case I'm out of it or whatever, and then I'll do that. But you have to be so careful, because I have known so many people that have done that and offered the information, and guess what happens? You know, we really like this other guy so much better. There's something in his voice, and we can get him for a quarter of the price. His contract is coming up. We can make some cuts. I don't know if any of you know what cutbacks are, layoffs are, if any of you experienced any of that. But this seems to be a common thread in our country, and increasingly. My dad in the 80s was a visionary, and he was a super engineer. He worked for Rockwell International, Continental Electronics, and he worked for NASA. Rockwell developed the communication modules for every space shuttle, and he was on that team for the communications. So when they retired, it was a little bit bittersweet. But he worked for Rockwell, and it was very, very cool. If you watch Close Encounters, you'll see a bunch of the Rockwell International things. You ever see that? Close Encounter? It's a good movie in HD. In high definition, it actually looks pretty good for a 70s flick. Everything looks good in HD. So it changed a lot for me, but did impress my colleagues. Now, one thing I had to understand was, is that that delivery, because I was a commodity for ABC, I had to be able to make some more money on top of what I was making. I was making a hefty salary. When you make more money, let me just say this, you find ways to spend it. You think you should have been set. Tell it about Hollywood actors, okay? They go through millions in a party. I don't know how they spend millions of dollars in a party, but they do. And you find ways to spend money. You go into shopping sprees at Macy's, and I think nothing of it. Here's $1,500 on clothes, and I did have tags on three of my walk-in closets, and I wouldn't wear half the stuff, and they'd end up in the, and I'd feel really bad about it at the end, but I'd donate it to Goodwill with tags on it. And I don't know what I was thinking when I bought the shirt, because I would never wear it. It was horrible, but it looked cool on the rack, and I didn't understand why I bought it. You know, it never happened. That was some foolish mistakes that I had made in my 20s. Now, when you turn 30, for some of you, things start evening out a little bit, right? You're not a kid anymore at 30. Up until you're 30 years old, you ever recognize that? Everybody thought you were just a kid, you didn't know anything, right? Now, my voice was very versatile. I was able to go from that network extreme, and I could do retail spots. I could do car commercials. When the tips go up, the prices go down. You know, I could do all those exaggerated commercials. Tonight on the History Channel, you know, I could do the real sensationalistic type of things. It's all these types of delivery. And I'm going to break a lot of them down for you, and I had a lot of fun doing it. You know, I've done it. Kevin and most of my students, they hear it and understand it, so you understand all the different variations in voiceover. Voiceover is not just a voiceover. There's different niche areas in voiceover. And the fatal mistake a lot of talent make getting into the industry recklessly is doing things that are not appropriate for them. There was a guy who did those butter commercials. Butter! And that's all he said and made millions of dollars doing it. Dwayne Swift was the producer on that, and there's a video on YouTube, and Dwayne Swift is the man of 1,000 voices in 30, you know, like 60 seconds, or it's 100 voices in 60 seconds anyways, but he can just do thousands of characters. Guy, he's a producer. He's on the other side of the mic these days, producing, but he likes to find people that are really just like a glove, fit perfectly for the casting. And that's really the job of a casting and a director, to find the right person. And they really, really hope, ultimately, a good, caring producer to find a person that really is worthy of it because of his reputation as well. So if I was the voice of World News Tonight and I was recklessly living, doing some crazy stuff, getting in trouble and all, they would have dropped me in a heartbeat. It's like a sports agent. You know, eventually there's so much things that, you know, listen, this person's bad for the team. You're just going to be benched for the whole season. You're making us look bad. So there's a certain amount of integrity that comes along with doing voiceover and being in higher agencies, believe it or not, because what you're doing is you're representing national brands. Well, case in point, who was Gilford Godfrey? Affleck! He said something offbeat politically, and they dropped him. And this guy made millions of dollars a year being the voice of the duck.
The duck.
For Affleck, millions of dollars. I bet she's sorry about that. Yep. Who is the other one? Paula Deen.
Oh, yeah.
Now, those comments were made decades, but damn, racial things? Woo, look what happened to Don Imus. That man's had 9 lives, and he looks it. God bless Don Imus. Let me tell you some stories about that. What time we got here? Oh, we're doing 39 minutes only into it. You guys having fun? I can do some talking. I mean, I can go on like the Energizer Bunny. It's not even funny. My book is coming out, and the final chapter. Oh, so my first book. Look, writing a book is more difficult than I ever imagined. Because once you read it, reread it, go back to reading it, you find out what an idiot I am. What am I saying here? Why didn't I elaborate more on that? Why would people want to read that? So I've rewritten a lot of things. But I want to make sure that the book is something worthwhile. So there's a lot of books on voiceover, and I read most every one of them, thousands of books over a lifetime already. There's a lot of them out there. One that I recommend right now off the shelf is called The Art of Voice Acting. It's by James Allberger. He's a mentor of mine. And I have many mentors. James Allberger. And he's an 11-time Emmy Award winner. And he lives in Southern California. He's in his 60s. Him and Penny Ashire. And they're wonderful voice actors. And he endorses me on his website. We've been friends for years. And he's coming out with another updated book, and he's asked me to submit some of my success stories in his book, and he's going to give me some credit in his next book, which is very kind of him. And I'm referring to Marcus Anderson, a guy who went on to do the history for the Lincoln book, working with Spike Lee at Sony Studios in New York. Here's a guy down on his luck, big time, disadvantaged child in Los Angeles, gangs, Crips and Blood. I don't know if he killed anybody. Good possibility it happened. It was a long time ago, and he cries about it. He's very upset, but he won't say. Over alcohol, things did come out. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, what are you going to do? He works for FedEx in Memphis, and he puts jet engines in, but he's the guy who says, oh, that doesn't look right. Marcus is close to 60 now. He is not very attractive. His personality, on the other hand, you want to do business with Marcus Anderson because he's all about business. And he's funny, he's friendly, and people just love him. Because he came to me and he said, I want to be the best at everything you do. What kind of computer is this? Marcus is going to get that. What is this? Marcus is going to get that. I said, Marcus, you don't need what... What is that? He went out and duplicated my studio over. I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? I created a monster. I want you to fly to Memphis and help me hook up the studio. I'm like, Marcus, if I'm out of town, whatever your fee is, you're kidding me. No, 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 Marcus got money. All right. What do? I worked for FedEx. I'm like, I didn't think people at FedEx made much money. Actually, it's a great company to work for. They can actually make money. The president's very generous to their employees and loves Marcus and equal opportunity for everybody. Very fair. So if you're ever looking for... But he said, I want to do voiceovers for FedEx. I want to do all the training films. I want to do all those. I want to do everything. Well, Marcus, we got to start off with just doing a demo. Why don't we just do a commercial? Well, let's do a commercial demo. See, I want to do movie trailers. You sure? What are you moving? That's a tough meet. I want to do movie trailer. We did movie trailer. We did promos. And we just went on and on narration. And he is a character, but we didn't do a character demo. But we did a lot. And Marcus Anderson, voiceovercompany.com. You can check it out online. Marcus Anderson Voice or voicecompany.com. One or the other. I think it's Marcus Anderson Voice Company. But he's in Memphis. But he flew in. He said, I have an arsenal of jet airplanes that I can come into Tampa on. And anytime, just let me know. And I said, well, what jet are you going to be on? He goes, you let me know what you can pick me up at the airport. I'm like, I'm picking you up at the airport and send a car after you. He flew in. And if you're a FedEx employee, you can fly into their hubs, is the deal. But Marcus, they're all available to me. You know, they're my jets. You just say when. That's Marcus for you. Great guy. A school teacher, Sarasota, Florida, Karen Joyce, she came to me broken. She couldn't be here today. We're going to hear from some people via Skype. She went through a bad divorce. I won't say any more about that other than she needed to find something that she could reinvent herself. And voiceovers, because everybody told her all like, got a great voice. So I don't know what to do with it. She's phenomenal. She does stuff for Sunrise Florida HBO Pictures over there now. She does voiceover, has her own company, her own studio, and she got a huge promotion at the school district. Now she travels all over and does voiceover and all that, and she does both. But people that tend to say they want to do it, like Marcus Anderson or somebody that seems to be a disadvantage or everything went wrong, and then you find that something, you realize, wow, the world can change and pretty much overnight if you wanted to. Now, later on in the program, we're going to have a Q&A session, and whatever question that you have, money-wise, or training, or studio, or equipment, or anything like that, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to handle the complex nature of, seemingly, how to make money, because that's what everybody wants. They want to make a fair living. But some people, $20,000 is all they want. That's fine for them. Believe it or not, they said, it's 20 grand, it's fine. So I'm not making this a full-time living, you know. 20 grand, you know, that's a vacation. 20,000, I guess you could go somewhere on 20 grand, right? Other people say I need to make at least 100 grand. At least. Well, I'm only making 25 or 45, so 100 would be great. So imagine if you're 50 and you're making 50 with a voiceover. That's 100,000 a year, that's not too bad. Now, there are some out there that will say, there is no way that you can make $50,000. You're lucky if you can make $5,000 doing voiceover. And I'm like, well, I don't know what kind of voiceover you're doing, but absolutely, you can make a lot more money in voiceover at that. There are probably, nationally, 10,000 talent agencies in the United States. Okay? And they all represent talent. Why is that? Because there's tens of thousands of commercials every year, coast to coast. There's local commercials, there's regional, there's national, there's worldwide, and then you have the internet. You have satellite radio, hundreds of TV broadcast channels. And they all have different talent, not always the same talent on 150, 200 channels on Bright House, Charter, Time Warner. Think about all the TV companies in the United States and networks. They're so hard up for voiceover, Univision has me speaking Spanish when I don't even speak Spanish. They're doing it in my ear, and I'm speaking Spanish. They tell me, and I just do it. And they want me to sound gringo. And I asked them, why do you want a white guy? Seriously, I just came out a white guy because I come across pretty vanilla, okay, in my delivery. And I was just being straight up. And they're like, because these are American companies, and this is a trade show, and we're trying to sell them on, we're in 127 countries. Did you know that? Univision is in 100, yes, we are. Wow. I think I'll sign up for that. What do you want me to say? Whatever you want me to say. Yeah. I got that through the Green Agency out of Miami. Now, there's some good agencies in Miami. Pay-to-play sites, the best in Florida that I know, that if you actually have to pay to be on their website, is voiceovermiami.com. Gary Travers is the guy who owns it. He used to be the weatherman in Miami for many years. And he's old school. Oh, my God. He came to one of my seminars in Miami, and he pretty much, I don't know, I asked him to speak. He said, can I just say whatever I want to say? I'm like, well, within reason. He said, well, you know, I'm just going to say it like it is. Pretty much try to discourage everybody who was in the room to pursue voiceover. And I'm like, well, that's one man's view. He was basically saying that if you didn't have 15 to 20 years experience in voiceovers, you might not even try. Interesting enough, half of my students run Voiceover Miami. But you don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. And I have to be very careful in sending my students over with the type of commercials that I actually put on there because I don't want to, you know, cross-promote something that was on somebody else's demo. He's like, wow, didn't I hear that on two other demos? So sometimes redirecting the demo, kind of reworking it or putting a few new things on there will actually... He'll forget within 2 months because he's going senile. Why I like VoiceOver Miami specifically as a talent is the money's great. When you get a call from them, it's no less than a grand. No less than a grand. My last gig was the Chamber of Commerce. I did a bunch of things for, it's on my website at keithallenboyce.com, where it's a map, map of zone. It's something with the Chamber of Commerce anyways, but that was like a $4,000 or $5,000 gig. So, I don't know what it is about Chamber of Commerce. They're so generous. They just love writing checks out. Like, they have those Obama bucks. Now, talking about Obama bucks, the government is very generous, too. Because you know what? There's people that have to hear audibly the websites. A lot of these government websites, well, guess what? Somebody has to articulate what the verbiage is, you know, on the website. Because they can't read it. They're blind. So it has to be audible. And the internet is going to become much more audible. It'll be like a television someday, completely. It already is in some respects, but much more video. And it'll be much more interactive, as it already is, but increasingly interactive. IBM just announced recently that they figured out how to actually get much more out of computers. You know how the brain stays cool? Blood circulation. So they're thinking about running, well, digital DNA through computers to keep them cool so they can mash much more computing power in computers. So computers are going to get ready to change again. So your cell phone is going to be amazing because you're going to have liquid something going around and around and around cooling those things off. So it's good times. Good times are coming. This is a lot of information. And believe me, at the end, your head's going to implode. And two things are going to happen. One, you're going to run for the hills and say, you know what, this is just crazy. This is so much information. This is blowing my mind. Or much more excited than ever to want to get a piece of the pie. How many people want a piece? Right now. Okay. Life's funny. Right time, right place. You ever just walk into a room, and listen, we're human beings, okay? You ever just... You don't know why, but your brain just, you sum somebody up quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really not a nice thing to do, but they remind us of somebody else in our brain. That's how our brains are wired. He reminds me of that other person. You don't even know the person, but you've already summed them up. Just because of the way they carry themselves, they did something. And really, they could be the furthest thing from the truth, but people do it anyway. Not a good thing. I'm not talking about him. It's like, he was not at all what I thought he was. He works at All Children's Hospital, by the way. It's one of the finest hospitals in the States. Don't you?
Yes, I do.
See, that's a cool gig. I want that gig. What's cool about the voiceover business is being privy to projects. Some of them, you would think nobody is going to ever hear them on the radio station. You ever get plasma? You ever need plasma? Ever know somebody that needed it or wanted it? So, I'm the voice on the video worldwide telling you why plasma is so special. That's me, an NBC producer in New York did it, and that was Gary Grant. Got it actually off VoiceOver Miami too. A New York producer. I worked with him and we did it. And then I had to learn German words. And German, it was just crazy. I'm like, and that's the thing. What if you can't pronounce something? If you're not a great reader, some of you are like, God, these $10 words and $5 words, medical terminology or cities, I think, what do you do about that? Easy. Easy. I phonetically spell it out the way it looks, and it looks nothing like it really was supposed to look. But I listen to it audibly on Merriam Dictionary. Online, it audibly speaks it out. You rehearse it several times until it's good. I got it. I'm marking the copy up appropriately, and it's ready to go. So when it's come, lights, camera, action, baby, I'm ready to go. Lock the motor. Now, with auditions, if you've never been on an audition, and some of you have never been, you're wondering, how does that work? Well, when you have an agent, they send you some information by email these days. And with VoiceOver, they've kind of made it easy, because they don't have you scratching your head in the studio saying, whatever voice you can come cook up with it, and if I like the particular voice, then we'll go with it. They're going to give a good description of exactly what they're looking for with a YouTube video, usually. And they'll say, we want somebody to sort of sound like that. Now, a lot of you would just say, and when they started doing this, I was like, well, why don't they just get that person right now? Why me? I'm like, dude, you're trying to get yourself out of the job here. You want the work, so just shut up. They can't get the guy for whatever reason, conflict of interest, which means that he could be on a competitive campaign. Like, say Macy's wanted my voice, we'd have to have Macy's. But JCPenney, I get a call from another agency. I have six agents. I have to remember, wait a second, that's going to be a two-month campaign, and that's out of New York, can't do it. So I have to turn it down. That's a big problem when you have multiple agents. I know it's a nice problem to have. There was a time, the Anchorman, in the country where one agent would do well. It's not the case. Now, in New York, you're exclusive. In Los Angeles, because of William Morris Endeavor and their reach, Los Angeles. So I can't have any other representation but them in LA and in New York. But they still want to know what I'm doing, just in case there's overlapping. I have to tell, and I do this, so St. Louis did. And then what a silly thing will happen is there's this national thing that will happen, and you can kind of see a lot of the auditions that are coming through on the National Wire, and you go to voicebank.net. And that's the largest casting website in the world, voicebank.net. And any agency worth their salt is on there, voicebank.net. And you can get memberships off that. You can see me. Some people post. Some of the agencies will post their talent. Others don't submit, and I don't know how that all works. But agencies will check, and you might get the same audition for four or five agencies. How I work it is Jerry Maguire-ish. I basically say, show me who shows me the money. Obviously, I'm going to look at my New York agent, and they show me the more, you know, most money. DeSanti in Chicago, I get some good money, but New York's better, right? Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you know, Ben's Model. I've had to look at it. Who shows me the most love? Now, how you get in trouble is you send that same audition to four different casting directors. It is not a different casting director. It's the same one. You send it through the agency back to your agent, who represents you, and they send it out to the same producer that those four other agencies are sending their people to. So if you send your audition four different times, five different times, they're going to get really sick of you, and you're not going to audition anymore because it really looks like you're greedy and unprofessional. So always be mindful of the business end of voiceover, because that's how you can get in trouble. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be blacklisted. I don't know if anybody knows what that means, but that's still alive and well. You ever get blacklisted at work? Yeah, some of you don't like the corporate life, and I get it. But there's a discipline to voiceover, because it is a business. They say if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. That's so true, but it's still work, right? So with the audition, they'll give descriptions of the voice that they're looking for, and if your agent's smart enough, and you have a good agent, they're not going to send you something that doesn't match your criteria. I had a call yesterday. My voice wasn't so much for something in Orlando for a fishing line through Ben's. They paid about, I think, $1,800 or something, or roundabout, something like that. But I had to turn it down because I had other voice clients coming into my studio, and they paid for my voice services, so I didn't have time. And he, Shelby, understood. You understood? You know Shelby. That's your agent. He wasn't upset. And then he sent out to 2,000 people. You know, I actually looked at my email. I've probably got about 50 emails now saying they couldn't make the seminar. They sent it out on Friday. So they would have did it 3 days later. It probably would have, you know, couldn't get people in the door. That's okay. This is perfect. The most fun that I probably have had in voiceover is working not only with ABC News, but being able to go to Hollywood and work with Morgan Freeman. I don't know if you know who he is. You know who he is? He's on every friggin' film that you've seen in the last 5, 10 years, I mean, or 20 years. I mean, he's everywhere. James Earl Jones. He phenomenal. And if you know the stories behind the guy on the microphone and know where they came from and who they... Their beginnings. I mean, James Earl Jones, chronic stutterer. A lot of people don't know about that. If you read his books, you'll see and understand. He had to put marbles and rocks in his mouth. And why does he speak like this so grandiose? And his mouth is open like this because he does not want to stutter. Why is he so intense? It's perfect for the Lion King, Darth Vader. You understand now why he is that intense. He doesn't want to stutter. He has to work that hard. But you didn't know it. Anybody watch the Fox News channel? Who watches Fox News? You admit that?
Once in a while.
I watch all of them, but Fox is kind of cool. They have some cool blondes on there.
That's why I watch.
I'm serious. They have all the hot blondes on there. It's crazy. It's like Spanish TV, but for gringos. But anyways, I don't know where I got off on that. That's so silly. It's just being in the room, being able to be privy to go into various studios and Hodge, you know, just meet them, greet them, and just kick it with them. And it's, you know, what do? Well, you might have heard of me. I'm Morgan Freeman. And so I just made pretend I didn't even know who the guy was. And he was actually very entertained by it. And I'm very convincing, as you know. And he was really just, he's like, you've never heard of me. And I said, you know, sir, you look a little familiar. I said, you know, I hope you don't take this wrong, but possibly Nelson. He said, Mandela? He laughed hysterically, and he says, I know you're kidding. And I said, I absolutely am. And he says, you're here with William Morris and Endeavor. And I mentioned, you know, what I did. But that was the coolest experience of all time, you know, with meeting people, that experience. And it was just unbelievable. And that is the level that you can be at in voiceover. Now, from your living room, probably not so, depending on the agency that you work for. Now, not all auditions are done in your living room. You may have to go to New York, but if it makes sense to go to New York or Los Angeles, you got to look at it. How much money is he going to pay? Is it a $10,000, $8,000, $5,000 gig? How much money is it? They'll always tell you how much money you're going to make. You always know what the dollar amount is. Now, what's cheap in the industry a lot is a lot of these pay-to-play sites, like Voices.com, Voice123, where there's bottom feeders. Okay, where there's guys that will say, I'll do it for 10 bucks. I'll do it for 25. I'm hungry. And they'll do it. Talent's talent. Okay, real talent. You're going to pay for it. Like Marcus says in Memphis, when people come, I'm not running the soup kitchen. You're worth your keep if you're professional. Now, you can wheel and deal. If you need to bend a little bit, this is the smartest thing and the best information that I can give you regarding negotiating power when it comes to rates. And my dad taught me this in the 1980s. Ask him what their budget is. Oh, no. What's your rate? Listen, I work with a lot of people, a lot of companies, small and large. I'd really just prefer what your budget is. They know exactly how much money they have allocated for the project. And if you go for $100 or $200, you know what happens largely? We have $900. So the training, 2 pages. Don't get too excited. I can do that. That's what will happen. They don't want to insult you, but they're going to try to shake you down and come back and say, look, I work with a lot of companies, a lot of different prices, big and small. What's your budget? Throw it right directly back with confidence. And you will find out you'll make much more money that way because you didn't give in. Don't give in. If they want you, they'll pay for it. Union or non-union? This is Florida. Non-union state. Non-union. Union jobs typically do pay more than union jobs. But this is a non-union state. So if you go to VoiceOver Miami and you look at non-union voices, they're plentiful. Union voices, a small amount. They're not making much money here. So you're better off non-union. Now, what happens if there's a big union job and they like you? They can still like you and pay you. And you can still get the union job because they'll pay your dues. There's a way around it now, which is great. And that happened, God, about 6-7 years ago. Talent's talent. They realize if they want you, they're going to pay for it. How do you get the big auditions? I live in Florida. You got to sound big. You got to sound believable. Your demo has to reflect today's technology. The sound quality has to be there. It's a TLM 103. It's a Neumann. That's studio quality. And it's a staple in most recording studios across the country. But there's other mics that are cheaper. We give you a professional sound, and I'll mention what those mics are. The bottom line is, if you have a demo out, it needs to be phenomenal because you only got one shot. And it has to reflect what your true potential is in voiceover, what niche areas you belong in. The only way you can really know is working with somebody that understands voices and voiceover personalities. And so working with a coach, we can figure out what makes you tick. Some people are middle of the road. I've met the quietest people, and they end up being the most sensationalistic, huge voices come out of, you know, people that are the quietest. You know, they get to be careful with quiet people. But you might just be an even keel kind of guy and you're not very excitable, but remember, this is voice acting. So if we're going to push the envelope, we're going to go in a lot of different directions with coaching to find out what your true potential is. So a lot of you just don't know right now. I work with a guy named Zurich, guy that I had met in Miami that works in West Palm Beach now. And he does a lot of promos and stuff like that for ESPN and History Channel. And I asked him, I said, how do you as a black guy sound like you're white? And I was just straight up with him. He doesn't have his pictures anywhere. When I met him, I was, because he sounds white. And the funniest thing happened. I was listening to 95.7 The Beat in Tampa, and I heard his voice, and it's white on an urban station. I'm like, why do they have a white boy on an urban station? It turned out that he was the white boy who was not a white, he was a black boy. Bald, Zurich, and he has a website. It's national. It's called voiceoveruniverse.com. It's like the Facebook for voiceover talent, voiceoveruniverse.com. Very cool website. Brings voiceover talent together. And I'm on there, the blogs and stuff like that, but it's a huge website, unbelievable. And this huge community of voiceover talent. You'll learn from them, and you can actually befriend them. A-list actors. You can actually converse with them online. It's unbelievable. Some of my mentors, Harlan Hogan is a big one. Well-known name. Rodney Salisbury, black guy, does a lot of promos and stuff like that that I look up to in Los Angeles. Joe Cibarano. Don Morrow, the voice of Titanic, good mentor of mine, friend. Voiceover, at least the school aspect of it, was not in the cards for me. I never anticipated teaching people what I do until an agent of mine, when I moved here to Florida, when I was on vacation, minding my own business. Long story, but I met a girl that said, you know how the story goes, and I ended up here. He said to me, he says, you need to listen to my talent and tell me who's good. I'm like, I don't do that. Gave me a huge box of CDs back in the early 2000s to listen to. I mean, who does that? So I ended up making sticky notes on every single one of them, and I was really glad to bring him back to his agency and say, there you go. They end up back in my car again. This is Steve Benz, who owns Benz, Central Florida's largest model and talent agency. I'm like, Steve, this is how things are done here in Florida? Seriously? I mean, you're going to represent me? He goes, just shut up. Brash. That's just Steve Benz for you. Great guy. We're really good friends. And so anyway, wow. So the music actually is overpowering on your vocals. You're out of character, you're in character, you're out of character, and why are you using Star Wars music and then Michael Jackson's Thriller in the same mix? Why are you even using Michael Jackson on your demo? And then Vanilla Ice. Clearly there was all sorts of issues, and there was a small stack that was actually, that sufficed for the website, and Steve was thrilled. So these people made the cut, put them on a website, and you need to take those and get those recorded and get them right, and then they can be back on the website. What? I don't have a recording studio where I want people to come into my house right now. No. That's your problem. Take the CDs and call these people. Brother, I'm a talent, I'm a producer, but I'm not a coach. He goes, you are now. So I go back and I tell my fiance at the time, baby, we're going to have people in or out of our house. And she said, no, no, and no. Nobody's using my bathroom. I don't know if you women are like that. You know, you don't use strangers using your bathroom. So I had a dilemma here, what to do. So I figured, you know what? I'm going to pick up the phone, and I'm just going to see how people react to me. This is a good indicator. Hello, this is Keith Allen on behalf of Ben's Model and Talent Agency. Do you have a moment? That would get your attention, right? Especially, oh, yes, Ben's, you know, your talent agent. Well, okay. You're sending me on audition? Well, listen, I'm calling about your demo. Oh, so excited. I said, do you have a few minutes? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, we listened to your demo, and there's some things that I want to go over with. When did you record your demo? And they're apologizing, you know, for the demo at this point, you know, what's on there. He said, listen, we can't send this out to our clients. It's not professional. Now, let me tell you what I liked about the demo. So if there was anything of redeeming quality to it, I would tell him what that is. So that's the only thing. I really feel that a lot of the copy was misappropriate for your personality and your tone. And there wasn't enough inflection in the voice. And you didn't, I didn't believe you. Do you want to do this for a career? Well, listen, I need to re-record you. Well, what time can we do that? Let me get back to you. But I'm glad that you're open to it. So I called several. They all wanted to re-record with me. So how much? I have no idea. Well, $500. Everybody, $500. Hundreds and hundreds. Seven days, it was crazy. So Steve allowed me to build a studio on the top of his building, big, elaborate studios, and then Hampton Inn came in Ybor City, and chopped the second floor off our building, and I lost all my studios. But I made much more money than what the build-out was, so I wasn't upset. I just had to move. So that's what happened with 57th Street Media, which is very exciting for me, and thousands of other people that I've influenced nationwide with doing voiceover. Now, these thousands of people are doing voiceover. Not everybody's being successful at it. And why is that? You know how many people go to gyms and they have good intentions, but they never have the six-pack abs, so they never lose 5 pounds, but they're there because they never change their eating habits. I have people that are phenomenal when they leave and they never market their voiceover demo. They never call on agents. They never go on auditions. They never do anything whether they sit on it. If they accomplish something, they can do it, but they go on to something next. You know people like that. I'm like, that's for somebody else. I get it. It's an old notch. I could say I did it. But success scares people. Some people don't want to be successful. And better yet, they don't know how to be successful. They don't see themselves being successful. Or success scares the crap out of them. How successful do you want to be is really up to you. Now, the agency is going to have you audition. You're going to have auditions. There's no shortage of auditions. It's the matter of you're willing to audition and learn what it takes to audition. Does that make any sense to you? We're going to do Voices on Demand in a little bit, and I'm going to break down and let you hear how I do all these variations. It's kind of mind-blowing. It's one thing you hear somebody just talk in the norm, and then you hear somebody actually professionally doing a voiceover and narration and impressions and characters, and it's coming out of that voice that one person does all that. It's so weird. But it's billion-dollar industry, and it's only getting bigger. And for the people that really make money, it's the people that align themselves with people that are successful already. Some guy that's in the local market doing stuff on a local radio station, doing a few spots here and there, it's okay. But if he's not been on the national level, he hasn't had a taste. As people in Los Angeles would tell me, oh, baby, if you had a taste of that powder, you'd love it. That's what I didn't like about L.A. I wanted to get a taste of it. A little taste, baby. I don't want a taste. I save my money. It's just a little powder, you know, a little nose candy. No. Aren't you glad you don't live out there?
I am now.
You understand why I moved? Yeah. And the thing is, I don't have what they call when you're susceptible to addictions, one of those personalities that you succumb to that. Thankfully, I wasn't born with an addictive personality. Thankfully. But my brother and some of my sisters have that. I can't pull my little sister away from a bar. If she goes out for a drink, she wants to drink the whole bar. The funny thing is, only when she's at the bar. She wants to, you know, she's not in her own house. She won't go to liquor store. It's in the bar. But she does have an addictive personality. I'd rather, you know, I have a 10-year-old. So that gives me the energy to be successful. You have to find something more than just doing that one particular thing. You have to have fuel to get up and do it for. Leaving a legacy for her is really my drive for my daughter. When I get up in the morning, that's what I do it for. I think about her. That gives me the energy to continue on doing this. I love doing it, but I want to leave a legacy. Change the world around me, leave it a better place, and my daughter. I know it sounds cliche, but you have to have a bigger reason than just yourself. I just want to hear myself on the radio. I just want to make money. See, you have to have a bigger reason to be better. Some of this is like quasi-borderline I live by it, so it's all kind of entwined, and I do motivate my students to excellence. So if any of you become my student, I'm going to require only the best, because when you go out there, it's very competitive, and they're going to expect a professional, because it's a professional job. When you go out, you have to know how to conduct yourself in a studio. Things that you should never do in a studio, people do all the time because they don't know. As stupid things. What would be a stupid thing to do when you go into a recording studio? Any ideas?
Cell phone.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad mistake, especially if you're doing a read.
Yeah.
Exactly. And church doesn't go over too well either.
No.
They don't like that. The pastor gives you a dirty look. He's that stink guy. Any other things that you think people would make a mistake in a recording studio would be a bad thing? You know. What
do you think? Not to follow directions.
Yeah, self-direct.
Yeah, self-direct.
Exactly. Another really stupid thing, you know, people do is they'll go up to the microphone and they'll thunk on a nice microphone. Thunk, thunk, thunk. You ever do on a PA system or thunk? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Test, test, test. Can you hear me? They can hear you. What you do when you're going to go for an audition is the microphone is up. And you step up to the mic, and you just start reading whatever it is. You have reached AT&T. Thanks for calling. That's a wrap. There you go. They'll tell you when. Don't self-direct. Put the headphones on and just start reading. He adjusts the volume. He does that. Now, this is rudimentary for some of you. Some of you know this, but people make rookie mistakes, and it's embarrassing. Now, how many of you would like to hear the most embarrassing thing I ever did that was the most brilliant thing that ever happened to me, but it was the most embarrassing thing? You want to hear that story? Okay, almost coffee time. K Street, Washington, D.C. Flashback. This was back in the early 2000s. Discovery Channel had an audition, okay, something with planetaries and things. It was very, very cool, and I was doing a lot of imaging for the Sports Center. This is ESPN with Tony Kornheiser, Coach John Thompson with the Sports Zone in D.C. I was doing a lot of stuff there with ESPN, trying to soup up their imaging and stuff like that. So I was part of that, which was very, very cool. ESPN, very successful, as you know. They have more than one channel, too, by the way. You know. Oh, yeah. People like sports. I don't know what it is. Anybody like sports?
Oakland Raiders.
Go Bucks.
Raiders. Raiders.
Go somewhere.
I was really wondering, like 2 days ago, I you know, I have a Bucks, a nice NFL shirt that looks pretty nice, you know, buttoned down and all that. But I'm like, you know, I don't feel great about wearing that, you know, especially that score last night. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Well,
so, yeah, exactly. There's always an exit. There is an optimist. That's a true fan.
A Raider fan has to be a lot more easy. The Raiders is not
too. Do you know what, though? But year after year after year, it's like the Dungy curse in Tampa. I don't know what it is. Orlando needs to get some kind of football team, I think.
Yeah.
A little competition. Okay, so here it is, the audition. Some of the auditions are in some very peculiar places. You think that some of them are state-of-the-art. Some of them are shady. Some of them are all right. Just wherever they could stick a studio in, some of them are nicer than others. So this is K Street. It's all right. It's in a pretty cool area, chic area for, you know, for D.C., but it's up the stairs, around the water cooler, down a slope, and then up another flight of stairs, and boom, boom, there's the voice studio. So I get into the voice studio, and there's about 12 people looking right in at me. What the hell are they doing here? They're leaving, right? I said to myself, and they weren't seemingly going to go. Now, I didn't meet them. That kind of takes the edge off. You know, when you're in a room and you just befriend somebody. And I didn't do that. Why? Because I showed up right on time. You don't show up right on time for auditions. You get there 15 to 20 minutes early to get used to your surroundings. And if there's other people there, Keith Allen, you know, shoot it with them. Coffee or water, just water, you know, if you're doing an audition or something. But I sometimes bend the rules occasionally. It's no cream. So here it is. My copy's in front of me. They're telling me, you're sounding good. We're getting ready. And so I just made a comment. Boy, we got a room full of people today. Yes, we do. To the point. You have any questions about the copy? No. My brain was affixed to all these people in the room. It didn't stop thinking. You ever get these thoughts in your head and you're like, am I a crazy person? Why can't I just shut my brain down? I mean, I'm freaking myself out of the room. Freaking out. I'm nervous. And I'm like, God, you idiot, you do this. This is what you do. What's wrong with you? But for whatever reason, I have the director. I get on the mic, director does his job. He's looking at the computer and all the squiggly lines. Why are they here? And so many of them, they don't look very friendly to me at all either. All right, I'm going to have to do this. I'm just terrified. I don't even know why. You ever do something, you walk into a situation where you're just more nervous about something and you have no idea what it is? Like, am I sick? You know, what is it? So you know what I did? I'll tell you what I did. I vacated the room. I said I had to go get a drink of water downstairs, around, downstairs, you know, all around, and out the door I went. God, what the hell's wrong with me? Ah, get it together. Heart beating out of my chest. I'm like, God, maybe I'm sick or something. You know? I'm like, no, I'm just nervous. All right, let me get it together. Before I knew it, I must have been downstairs for a good 20 minutes. I didn't even realize time went way too fast. Well, the studio engineer, down the stairs he went, found me, and he wasn't very nice. He used some adjectives. He told me
that if I ever blankety blank, 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 ever wanted to work in this blanket, I mean, you know, hit it, oh my Lord, insulting. Get your ass, like was my dad, get your ass up right now and do this voiceover right now. I swear I sobered up like I was drunk. Yes, sir. Wow. It was like he punched me in the face or he smacked me. I mean, I'd better off probably having that done. Went right up, voiced that commercial perfectly. One take. After the voiceover, he comes in on the microphone. He says, can you please wait in the lobby? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
They got what they wanted. He comes out and he says, sir, the only thing that saved your ass today, you know what that was? You're going to say the one take, right? And I said, no. He said, me. I saved your ass. I said, you had an upset stomach. And you told me before I came to the studio, and they all understood. But I wasn't going to tell you that. You were unprofessional. You were down there for 20 minutes freaking out. And I know if you ever do that to me in my studio again, you will never get any work. And I thanked him and I left, but it was a learning experience. I needed to get it together. And it never happened again after that. But you got to think of something, you know, if you're nervous, think of that something. That somebody in your life that you just dislike. Something that happened that was very unpleasant. Let those emotions well up on you. They kind of just kind of, something somber to kind of calm those nerves and all that. Now, some of you say that would work very, very well with whatever's going to work. You know, think of whatever's going to calm those nerves down quick and bring you to Jesus real fast. Because really, the fact of the matter is, I wanted the gig. It would have been good for my career if I got it because I wanted more work from them. But it was a teaching moment. And life is full of teaching moments only if we actually heed the words. Think about those opportunities when you failed to reach out and say something you should have or said something you shouldn't have. Teaching moments in life, you remember them. You'll never make the mistake again because 2020 vision. Monday morning quarterbacking. All that stuff happens on Monday morning, right? But on auditions, guess what happens? They got that one take. Guess what happens? Even if you don't get the audition, you have producers listening to your voice. And they're always thinking about who would better represent Howard Johnson, this commercial, you know, the Renaissance, whatever it is. They're looking ahead. And they're like, if it didn't work out for that one, he's, you know what, great read on that. We went with somebody else, but you know what, I'm going to call you next week. I think you'd be perfect for XYZ. I'm going to give a call over the agency. I think you'd be great. And I make relationships all the time that way. Your attitude is important. Don't be bummed out if you don't get the audition. Because you never know who's listening on the other end. There's somebody always listening. You never know who you're going to run into either. In an elevator or somewhere, always have cards ready and available. You just don't know. And a lot of times it's the likability aspect. Sometimes a person doesn't have the best voice, but their personality and there's just something that they have. Dwayne Swift has told me this many times. It's like, this guy, he doesn't have the best voice, but he's a nice guy, and I like him. So the good old boy system does, it's there. Politics is everywhere in life. Get used to it, but play nice. It's a great business to be in. Much more ahead. Go get some cappuccinos. Go get some espressos. Go get a buzz on. Whatever you want at Starbucks right now. Just show them your badge. Come back. We're going to put some mic time and we're going to switch some things up here to listen to you. And it's kind of like a star search. Totally different dynamic to this thing now. It's going to get very interesting. All right, go get a buzz. If you don't like caffeine, just water.